Good morning. Come on in. Have a seat. Actually, don't seat. Stand as we worship the Lord through song this morning. We're going to sing out All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name as we begin our services this morning. Let's sing this out together.
Worship today at First Baptist Church of Wixom. We want to wish a special happy Father's Day to all of our dads here today. Here are a few upcoming events to help you stay connected.
There will be no evening gatherings tonight. We encourage you to use an extra hour this week for gospel outreach. Please let Pastor Brad know today if you are interested in helping with the Wixom Fireworks Parking this Thursday evening, June 23rd. We can use your help with things like grilling, serving lemonade, monitoring the hallway, helping people park, and general supervision. Volunteers should plan to be here from 8:30 to 10:30 p.m. Plan to join us as we reach out to our community.
We will have our annual summer kickoff event for teens on Friday, June 24, from 6 to 9. Cost is $5 per person and will include food and games. Please see Jeremy Victory with any questions. Next Sunday morning will include our annual business meeting. Please plan to celebrate another year of God's blessing with us. We will be voting primarily on the new budget and deacons for the coming year. Afterwards, we will enjoy a special time of dedication, prayer, and treats as we unveil the new edition.
In just a few minutes, we will be dismissing children 4 years through the third grade out the back of the auditorium to our Journey Church ministry. While there, they will enjoy a great time as they sing songs, play games, and hear a message from God's Word prepared just for them. Giving is one of the many ways we have to worship the Lord. If you'd like to give financially, you can utilize the giving box in the back of the auditorium, or you can give online at fbcwixom.org and click the tab at the top of the page.
If this is your first time at FBC, we would love to connect with you. If you'd like more info about FBC, prayer, or to learn how you can get involved, you can fill out a connection card online at fbcwixom.org/connect. Also, make sure to stop by the Welcome Center for a special gift on your way out after the service. Once again, thank you for joining us for worship today. Now we invite you to worship the Lord through song as we prepare to hear from God's Word this morning.
Good morning, everyone, and happy Father's Day to you. I want to mention just a couple other things briefly before we pray this morning. Number one, there is a brief choir practice this afternoon or right after the morning worship. Is that in the cafe by the gymnasium immediately after our dismissal today? A brief choir practice. And then secondly, a few families have asked about the church camping outing, which is coming up at the end of July. And we actually do this. If you're new to First Baptist Church, we do this on church property out here by where the buses park, where there's lots of grass and electricity and a campfire, a great place for us to have our camp outing. We get together on Friday evening, and then some families will stay Friday evening and Saturday evening. We're going to have a special campfire time planned and some games for the kids. You won't want to miss being a part of at least some of the camp outing. And then that Saturday night, since there will be people camping Saturday night, on Sunday morning there's no Sunday school, and we'll have our morning worship service outside, weather permitting. That's always a fun Sunday morning. And we'll wrap it all up by grilling hot dogs and enjoying lunch together on that Sunday. I think that's the 31st of July. So that's coming up in several weeks, but we wanted you to get it on your calendar and consider bringing your tent or your camper or whatever you sleep in when you're camping, and bring it, and we'll get you set up with a spot out here by the soccer field and enjoy a great time together as a church family for the weekend. Let's pray as we get started today. Father, we're so grateful that we can be together for Father's Day. We thank you that you are the great demonstration of being a good father. You love us. You're so patient with us. You forgive us. And when we, like the prodigal son, wander away, you wait for us to return with loving arms. We're so grateful for that. We're thankful this morning that because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we can gather together today as forgiven brothers and sisters in Christ. And we can enjoy fellowship with one another. And we can obey your word, which tells us to gather to provoke one another to deeper love and better good works. Lord, help us to do that today. And as we celebrate fathers, and as we thank you for the faithful men in our lives, that each of us would be challenged with the truth of Scripture, and that we glorify you with our response today. We pray all of this in our risen Savior's name. Amen.
All throughout Scripture, we can find great examples of how we're supposed to live as husbands, as dads. But the greatest example that we have is through our Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father. And I'm so thankful that we have that great example, that perfect example of love and forgiveness. Let's stand together as we sing out How Deep the Father's Love for Us.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns His face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold, on His shoulders, ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held Him there, until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is.
Through the blood of Jesus Christ, we have His death, burial, and resurrection, that we have the gospel plan, we have forgiveness, and we now have a relationship with our Heavenly Father, in which Jesus tells us we can call out to Him as Abba, Father, a personal, close-knit relationship. He is our Heavenly Father. And it makes me think about the next song we're going to sing. It focuses on the fact that we are secure through Jesus Christ in the hands of our Heavenly Father. He will hold me fast. not just through salvation, which lasts for eternity. Praise the Lord for that. But the fact that we're secure every single day, no matter what the turmoil, no matter what the issue, we are secure in the love and the power of our God. Let's sing this out. He will hold me fast.
Could never keep my form through life's narrow path, for my love is often born. He must hold me fast. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so. He will hold me fast. Promises shall last, bought by Him at such a cost. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so. He will hold me fast. For my life He bled. Justice has been satisfied. He will hold me fast. Raised with Him to endless life. He will hold me fast. Till our faith is certified. When He comes at last.
For that security we have in Jesus Christ. Great singing. You can be seated.
Amen. Thank you, Don and Carrie, for that beautiful song. I invite you to take your Bibles, please, to 1 Timothy and chapter number 4 this morning. 1 Timothy and chapter 4. We've been working through a series of messages from this book in the New Testament, which is an epistle. That word means it's a letter. This particular letter was written from the Apostle Paul, who was a converted Pharisee. And Paul was writing to who he describes as his own true son in the faith. We know him as Timothy. In fact, he wrote two letters to Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy, and then he wrote a letter to another young preacher named Titus. And in these three epistles, these three letters, Paul describes for these young men what they should be teaching their church, what the church needs to hear. And it's surprisingly relevant topics. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 6, he says to put the brethren in remembrance of these things. In verse 11, these things command and teach. Paul is very intentional with these men about what the church needs to hear and what they're to teach. And it's interesting, actually, if you just think about topics that churches are talking about today and run them through this grid, a lot of churches, I think, kind of miss the point of what the church needs to hear. What we need to hear is, as Paul describes in chapter 1, we need to hear about the foundation of our faith. We need to make sure we've got firm handles on the gospel, what it means to be saved, what it means to be in Christ, what it means to be part of the family of God, forgiven and on your way to heaven, because the gospel is not just for that. The gospel is not just for salvation. It's not just for making sure you're on your way to heaven. The gospel is for every aspect of life. It affects everything. And as we've worked through this book to this point, we've learned that the gospel affects how we pray, and it affects how we view lost people. It affects how we view the roles of men and women. It affects our expectations for our leaders and for our servants in the church. It affects the behavior of the church. It keeps us away from apostasy. And last week we looked at the truth that the gospel actually motivates us to exercise our faith, to stay healthy spiritually. We're careful about what we're willing to take in. We make sure that we exercise discretion with the things that are allowed into our ears and into our eyes. We're careful. We stretch ourselves out of our comfort zone to gain spiritual strength, and we always keep the goal of eternity in our mind as we lean into our trainer, our good father who has instructions for us. So today, we want to talk about raising up leaders. This is, after all, Father's Day, and there are so many faithful men in this church who are a wonderful example to our young people. I would just tell you this morning, I miss my father, who's been with the Lord now for a while. But I'm so grateful for faithful men who serve as elders to me and others in this church as example. So grateful for that. What I want to do this morning is to encourage more of that, to encourage more of us to take on that attitude of raising up leaders. This is the job of the church. 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse number 12. The Apostle Paul says this to Timothy personally. Timothy, let no man despise your youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation or lifestyle, in charity, that's agape love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Let's pray together. Father, please help us as we come to your word. We know that without the Holy Spirit and his shining light on these truths, that, Lord, we will not understand them correctly, and we will not leave this room changed. We will not obey your word. But, Lord, with the power of the Holy Spirit, you can make your truth exceedingly clear to the smallest detail. And you can, by the power of the Holy Spirit, convict our hearts where we lack, where we're wrong, where we need to repent and confess sin. Lord, you can teach us what it is that needs to change in this church, in this body, with these people today. Would you teach us that specifically? And Lord, would you give us the courage to obey you today as we think about your truth? And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. A few years ago, we started a ministry that we called FLOW, Future Leaders of Wixom. And some asked, what is that? And why would we do that? Why would we find something else for pastor to do or the leadership team to do? What is that all about? I just want to tell you that I firmly believe that the best future leaders of this local church are the young people that are raised up in their faith in this local church. Are you with me? The best possible future leaders of this body are young people who are raised up in their faith in this body. Maybe they're not raised from the nursery up, but they really gain a foothold and they gain strength and momentum in their faith here as part of this body. What FLOW does is it attempts to give young men particularly a peek behind the curtain, so to speak, to better understand ministry, whether that's lay ministry or whether that is employment someday as paid staff in a church. And here's what I would like to do today. I'd like to make a biblical case from this passage that this idea of raising up leaders is to be a priority for the church. This should be a priority for you. FLOW is not something Brad does. That's nice. I hope they had a good time. This is something that you do. This is something that we do as adults in the church, the current leading generation. We have a responsibility, and it's a sacred duty to raise up leaders from the next generation. We're to do this in our families, in our school, in our church. And this morning, maybe you've never thought about the FLOW ministry, but here's what I'm hoping, that by the time we're done today, you own it. Not that particular conversation, but you own the idea. That's me. That's my job. How do I help to raise up the next generation of leaders? See, Paul was giving instruction to young leaders. And as he gives instruction, he actually shows us an example what elders do. I've described to you this general definition of elders in the church. Generally, elders are people, Christians, that are reproducing themselves. They're old enough to reproduce themselves spiritually. So sometimes people are 60, 70 years of age. They're not spiritual elders. Sometimes people are 20, 30 years of age, and they're clearly spiritual elders. They're reproducing themselves. This is what elders do. This is what all of us should do for our young people, especially our boys. I'm going to mention that a couple of times today, and this is not to minimize in any way the priority of raising up our girls, because the girls actually end up raising the future boys. Are you with me? We talked about that on Mother's Day. Like, we need godly women to get this maybe more than the rest of us, because they're responsible for instilling truth into little boys as they become leaders in the church. But this is what we are all to do. And I want to challenge you this morning. This is a little bit of a different passage and a little bit of a different approach to Scripture. I want to ask you this morning to take it personally, to make it practical, to actually look around the room, okay? In fact, maybe you young people could help me with something. I don't want to embarrass you, I'm sorry, but let's try this. If you are, let's say, 10 years of age to 25, guys and girls, and you're not too cool to stand up, would you stand up for just a second? 10 years of age to 25. Thank you, Caden. That's a leader. He hops right up. All right, church, for just a second, stay standing. For just a second, would you look at these people? Look at those people for just a second. All of them. Okay? All right, you guys can sit down. Now, I want you to think about one of those young people. These are the people we're talking about when we say future leaders, I want you to make it practical. I want you to make it personal. At the end of this morning's message, I'm going to challenge you to do some things for those people. Okay? So be thinking with me about those people. There are no small groups tonight, and so you're on your own for application. In other words, nobody's going to tell you at 6 o'clock tonight like we normally do, hey, this is what you need to do with the message you heard this morning. We got to do it today, this morning. I want you to think about committing to raising up the next generation of young people. If you study Scripture deeply, you understand that there are some passages that you approach slightly differently. This is one of those passages. So as I understand Scripture, many times when we read Scripture, it's a command we can pull right off the page for us. I should do what that command says, right? That's usually what we read in New Testament Scripture. This one's slightly different. This is a personal note from Paul to Timothy, and Paul is encouraging Timothy in a very specific way. So we can take the commands off of the page of Scripture and apply them to ourselves, but I think the right way to read this passage is to say this: if Paul did this for the people he wanted to see raised up in leadership, I should do this for the people I want to see raised up in leadership. Are you with me? We're not just taking the content of Scripture. We're going to learn today from Paul's example. All right? So hang with me. There are four things that we want to talk about today that we should encourage in young people. Number one, encourage future leaders that they are not too young to be effective. Think about that for just a second. Encourage those young people that just stood up. Encourage them that they're not too young to be effective. They can be an effective pattern, as Paul says in verse number 12. Let no man despise your youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, conversation, charity, spirit, faith, and purity. When Paul says, let no man despise your youth, what he is not saying, young people, hang with me for a second. He's not saying that you should demand respect. Hey, old folks in the church, you better give me some respect. Right? That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is this: there is a way that you can earn their respect. And the way that you earn their respect is that earlier than they expect you to, you show surprising maturity. Earlier than they would expect, you are an example for other people in these five areas that he lists here. He's not talking about demanding it. He's talking about showing it, earning it. This word, I think in your notes this morning, it says that this word example means a pattern, like a pattern you would use for tracing or cutting, following the line. It's the idea that your walk talks louder than your what? Than your talk. That your actions speak louder than your words. Young people, you can say, I love Jesus and I want to do right. But do you? You're not too young to be an effective example to the adults around you. Hey, young people, do you guys know that there are adults who are struggling in their faith? They're struggling. And they need an example, and it can come from you. You can effectively lead in this way. What Paul's telling us is this: a young man, listen to this, can come from a long line of Bible scholars. He can be raised in a Christian, godly home. He can go to school and get impressive degrees. He could even preach with a golden tongue. But if he cannot set an example of godly living, he will be ineffective as a leader. Are you with me? Did you hear that? He can have every factor right to be the prince of preachers. And yet, if he never learns to set an example of godly living, he will be ineffective. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5, our gospel came not unto you in word only, but in power. How did it have power, Paul? How did it have the Holy Ghost? How could we be sure that it was the Word of God? You know what manner of men we were among you. It was powerful. Excuse me. It was effective. It was strong. It was filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? because of how we behaved ourselves when we were among you. We set an example. You can follow me, he said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, as I do what? As I follow Christ. Want to be a good leader? Be a good follower of Jesus. We must teach this to the next generation. Unfortunately, dads, listen to me on this one. This can be convicting. Unfortunately, a lot of men in the secular world and also in the church are elevated to leadership because they've been around a long time. And our young people see an example of men that have been around a long time, elevated to leadership, and they begin to think, oh, you know how you get into leadership? Hang around. That's it. That's all you got to do. You don't have to be real. You don't have to authentically follow Jesus. You don't got to love Jesus. You don't got to love your wife. You don't have to parent well. You just got to hang around long enough until somebody dies and then you become the leader. That is not effective leadership in the church. Effective leadership in the church is young people saying, I'm ready to set an example right now. In the church, the rules are slightly different. Want to be a good leader? Be a good follower of Jesus. The church needs your example, your pattern in word. This is talking about exemplary conversation. Ephesians 4:29, not letting corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So this morning, young people, if you were in that group that stood up, can you listen for just a second? You're to be an example in how to speak kindly and graciously that builds other people up. And those of you that didn't stand up, our job is to cheer that on in young people. Hey, I saw you speak kindly to that person. Attaboy. That's exactly what it should look like. We should be cheering that on. In word, in conversation, this old word as actually a word for conduct or lifestyle. You're to be a model of godly living. Here's what James 3 says. Listen to this. Who is a wise man and a dude with knowledge among you? Who is somebody you should listen to? Look what it says. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Who should you listen to? Who has wisdom? Who has something to offer you as a leader? A person who shows it out of their behavior, their lifestyle. So be an example of a godly lifestyle. In word, in conversation, in charity, as I mentioned, this is the Greek word agape, self-sacrificing service to others. What did Jesus say? Greater agape has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's a powerful phrase for Jesus, because what was he going to do? Literally lay his life down for his friends. He says, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Hey, older generation, my generation, this is what we should be encouraging in young people. And can I just say, particularly in young men, who do young men love the most? Think about when you were a young man. They tend to love themselves the most. Are you with me? We all do. What we must cheer on is agape kind of love. When young men learn to love themselves the most, they grow up to be mediocre husbands and fathers. But some of our young people, can I just tell you, some of our young people right now, some of the kids that just stood up a few minutes ago, some of them are already learning to lay down their life. They're willing to sacrifice what they want for others. And what they need the older generation of the church to do is say, attaboy, that a girl, that's exactly what you should be doing in Christ. Laying down your life. You can be an example in love. You can be an example in faithfulness. Faithfulness, this word faith, that means that faithfulness or commitment, not on again, off again, not obsessive, compulsive Christianity, which some of us are guilty of, right? I'm on fire for Jesus. I don't want to go to church. That's not what faithfulness is. Faithfulness says, I'm just steady. I'm just always in my spot. I'm always doing my job. I'm always pursuing after Jesus. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. He says this, listen, here's how you measure somebody's faithfulness. Do they take what they've been given and minister it to others? He was talking about the gospel. But he's using an example here, a metaphor. A steward is somebody who cares for the master's funds. If you take your money down to PNC and they go and blow it at the racetrack, you would say that's not a good steward, right? I expected them to take care of my funds. God gives you the mysteries of the gospel, the truth of Jesus Christ. And he says, now what are you going to do with it? Are you going to take care of it or are you going to waste it? Paul says this is how you measure faithfulness. Do they take what they're learning about Jesus and do they use it well? Do they serve other people with it? You must be a faithful steward of the things that you're given. And then he says you can be an example in purity. This is super powerful. This word purity definitely carries with it the idea of sexual purity. We must cheer this on in our young people. Amen. We must cheer this on in our young men particularly. Amen. This is something that we need to cheer on. Sexual indiscretion has ruined more churches, more nations, more families, more lives than we could count. Fathers, can I just give you some quick exhortation? You need to be more intentional and more strategic about this than you think you do. You need to deal with this earlier than you think you do and more specifically than you think you do. Because if they don't get it from you, Dad, they're going to get it from somebody else that you don't want them to get it from. These instructions come from a father. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, flee also youthful lust. In Ephesians, he told the church, but fornication, let it not be once named among you. Not a single time. It does not belong in the church. How do you keep it out of the church? I think sometimes we're sort of fatalistic with this, with sexual failure in the church. We're fatalistic. It's like, well, it happens in churches all the time. I mean, you hear about it, you read about it, it just happens. It doesn't have to happen. It doesn't have to happen when the leading generation says, no, we will live pure lives and we will teach our young people to live pure lives and we'll be active about this and intentional about this and specific about this and we will work hard to teach them to be an example of purity. Young people, you're not too young to be effective leaders in these five areas. Number two, we need to encourage future leaders to value quality biblical preaching. Verse number 13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. These are the general orders until Paul arrives. Holden was talking with me about a month ago. We were talking about modern warfare and how warfare has changed in the last couple thousand years. As you might know, he's a bit of a historian. So he was teaching me that in the old days, they would give instructions to an army or to a group of soldiers, and those soldiers were told to go to a specific area, a specific location, and wait for further instructions because they didn't have radios, they didn't have cell phones, they didn't have radar, they didn't have those modern ways of communication. And so they would send the group and then somebody would probably arrive with a letter or arrive with a word about what they were supposed to do later on. That's not how it works today. Today, they're given very specific instructions about the task, and if that changes, we'll let you know on the way, right? Even if it's a matter of split-second changes in direction, the communication is so much better. Here's what Paul was saying to Timothy. I want to come see you, but until I get there, there's a general focus, a general priority that you must have. This is really important for the church. And the general priority is that you need to learn to value quality biblical preaching. Not because of the guy who gives it. Not because of the venue in which you hear it. Not because of the name on the sign in the front of the church or whatever. But because God's people need quality biblical preaching. It is God's word. It's God's instruction. So basically what he's saying to Timothy is this. Look, if you're in doubt about what to do, value preaching. Start there. If you're in doubt, value preaching. You say, well, I'm not sure I see that in here, Brad. How do you get that? Well, I want you to see, he says, to pay attention to reading, exhortation, and doctrine. The word reading actually in the Greek has an article in front of it. It's probably better translated this way. Give attention to the reading. What was he saying? The church took from the synagogue this idea that you started a service together by reading God's word. You remember Jesus actually participated in this in the Gospels, where he went to the synagogue and they handed him the Old Testament and he stood up and he read from Isaiah and he said, "Today is this prophecy fulfilled in your eyes. I'm the fulfillment of that prophecy." Jesus was participating in the reading. This morning, you and I, we read together from 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse number 12. The question is, are we teaching our young people to pay attention to the text of the message? For Timothy, no doubt this was the text that he was going to preach. But I think we could just say, in general, we should all be engaged in the text. Do you fall asleep during that little portion, take a little pre-message nap, or do you really pay attention? I can tell you how to know if you check out or if you're really with me. This morning when you walked in, could you answer the question, what's Brad preaching on today? Could you answer the question? How long would it take you to come up with it? Intentionally, I didn't send an email with the text in it, okay, because I wanted to test you this morning. You should know. Not because it's my message, but because it's God's word. If you didn't know this, if you haven't picked up on this, you're a little behind the curve. I always preach the next verses. You know what I'm saying? So last week we ended in 11. This morning we started in what? 12. So if you asked your young person that lives in your home that question, would they know? I mean, let's just do it. Let's make it super simple, okay? This is a multiple choice. This is a single answer you can't miss. Young people, where do you think the message comes from next week? Yes, ma'am. There's no 17. I'm sorry. Yes, 1 Timothy chapter 5, right? That's where the message is going to come from. So here's what Paul says to Timothy. I know that's sort of a silly example, but what Paul said to Timothy is this: pay attention to the reading, the text. You probably wouldn't have the context to ask that question just out of the blue in your home. But if you were asked the question, what's your pastor preaching on this coming Sunday? 1 Timothy chapter 5. We just finished 1 Timothy chapter 4, and it ends in verse number 16. Pay attention to the text, is what he says. Why? Not because, Timothy, you're the greatest preacher in the world and they need to give you their attention, but because the text is God's word. So pay attention to it, the reading. Number two, pay attention to exhortation. This is the explanation of the reading of the Word of God. Pay attention. Why does the Word of God need to be explained? I mean, why couldn't we just read it? That'd be easier, right? Just read. Why does it need to be explained? It needs to be explained because the farther we get in time away from the culture and context of the original audience, the harder we have to work to understand what it means for us. What does it mean for us? For Timothy, Paul was encouraging him to get it right. When you explain Scripture, Timothy, get it right. But for all of us, what we need to do is cheer on our young people. Hey, hear it right. What did you learn today in church? How are you going to apply today what you learned in church? I love Mr. Haddix has been teaching junior Sunday school, and he has on the board down here in one of the classrooms, Mr. Haddix School of Character. And one of the things that he's teaching the kids is to take notes on preaching. That's awesome. That's so encouraged me. Kids have notebooks. Young people, some of our young people, hold up your notebook if you got it from Mr. Haddix. Look at this. There's a half a dozen kids who have a notebook. They're taking notes. Young people showing an example. That's awesome. Pay attention to the text. What is it going to be next week? 1 Timothy chapter 5. Pay attention to the exhortation. What's the exhortation? How young people can be effective in leadership. And then lastly, pay attention to doctrine. What is doctrine? This is how this teaching fits into the whole meaning of Scripture. How does this fit into Christian living? Timothy, teach it correctly. Young people, apply it correctly. This is what we do at the end of every sermon. At the end of every message, I say to you, hey, I think this is how I should apply it, and I think this is how you should apply it. And some of you have said to me, and the Holy Spirit said to me, actually, you need to apply it a little differently, and here's what it is. Okay? Every message from the Word of God has an application. So here is what Paul is saying to young Timothy in a nutshell in verse number 13. Until you get further instruction, Timothy, focus on this one thing. Pay close attention to the preaching of the Word of God and its proper application in your life. Are we, dads, moms, leading generation, are we setting an example of this for our kids? Let's put the shoe on the other foot. Hey, mom and dad, what's Pastor Brad going to preach on next Sunday?
I don't know.
What did he preach on this Sunday? I can't even remember. Or, well, clearly he finished up chapter 4. He's going to be in chapter 5 of 1 Timothy. Let's read it together as a family. Let's read 1 Timothy chapter 5 maybe every day, or a few verses every day for the next month, because we'll be in there for 4 or 5 weeks. That's paying attention to the Word of God. Do we model it? Do we cheer it on? Number 3, and quickly, we need to encourage future leaders to recognize and exercise their gift. To recognize and exercise their gifts. Look at verse number 14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. We're taking the example of the Apostle Paul here as he cheers on a young man. Neglect not the gift that was in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on the hands of the presbytery. What had happened here is that someone had called out a gift in Timothy. Timothy, you are clearly gifted in this area. Paul recognized it. The church recognized it. And they said, now, Timothy, go get him. Remember, Timothy was just a young man when he joined Paul's team. Think about this, parents. Paul's team was going to die as martyrs. Would you send your teenage son? The church said, this boy is gifted. Send him with the missionary. Yes, he'll probably die, but it's okay. Send him. He's going to do great things for God. Do you recognize their gift? I was talking to a parent, not in our church, this last week, and they said, my child chose ministry over the path I had planned for them. And it broke my heart. I couldn't not say something. You know, I said, are you kidding me? I mean, I think as a parent, you should love your kids and cheer your kids on to exercise their gift in any way. But if they choose ministry, it ought to thrill your heart. Amen. They want to build into the kingdom? Are you kidding me? That's what they want to do? That's awesome. They want to invest in eternal things? I think we need to cheer it on. Sometimes we cheer on the wrong stuff. We go crazy for their athleticism. Or their academic ability, or their acting talent, or their music, or their art. And all of those things are good, but what should we be cheering on the most? Hey, how are you gifted? Oh, you're gifted musically. Let's talk to Jeremy and let's see if we can figure out how to exercise that gift. Oh, you're gifted in teaching. Let's talk to Pastor and Holden and see if we can figure out how to get you into some kind of Sunday school setting where you can practice that gift. By the way, that's on purpose. Jeremy does not always lead the worship. Why? He's developing other leaders. On purpose, I don't always preach, even if I'm here. Why? I'm developing Holden and other leaders to preach the Word of God. That is our responsibility, to call out giftedness and to cheer it on in other people. Dads, if you were doing a backyard cleanup activity as a family, would you put up with one of your kids sitting in the easy chair, sipping lemonade while everybody else was working? Would you do that? My father would not do that. I would not do that, right? I would say, hey, we're all working. That means you. Get out here and work. It's a team effort. And yet, some of us, hang with me, model this for our kids in the church. My gift, son, is to kind of sit and watch. We model that for our kids. There are some dads, though, that are in here where they have to be like reined in. They're always serving. And their kids see them always serving. Dad, don't you already have like 3 ministries? Yeah, but this one more is not going to take a lot of time, and we can do it together as a family, and it's going to be okay, right? They're just always serving. We need to cheer this on in our young people. What is your gift, and are you using it? Gifts are given for a reason, and that reason is not to you and for you, and it's not for chilling out and just enjoying being gifted. being gifted is for you to use for the church. Timothy was gifted. Paul recognized it. And in the heat of the battle, Timothy probably was forgetting his gift. In fact, many Bible scholars agree that Paul was kind of doing an intervention for Timothy here. There's many things that he says in here that indicate that Timothy was about to hang it up. He was in a tough church situation in Ephesus, a tough, tough community situation. Bunch of highfalutin educated people who didn't want to hear a young guy preach. And it feels like Timothy was about to say, you know what? I'm totally done with this. Paul left me. He's off gallivanting around the world, planting other churches. He left me in this place and I'm hating it. And Paul says, hey, Timothy, don't forget you're gifted and you're gifted for a reason. Use it. Invest in the kingdom. Number four, encourage future leaders to give themselves to spiritual discipline. We talked about spiritual discipline last week. We won't spend a lot of time here. But in verse number 15, he says, meditate on these things and give yourself wholly to them. Completely immerse yourself in this pursuit, that thy profiting, your progress, might appear to all. I like the book that Kyle Eidelman wrote called Not a Fan. It's in our discipleship collection. Basically, the premise of that book is this. There's a lot of people who say, hey, thumbs up to Jesus. Yeah, I can click on that. But there's very few Christians who will jump into the deep end of the pool if it costs them. And Jesus said, if a man will be my disciple, let him forsake everything and follow me. Everything. All his dreams, all of his family, all of his priorities, all of his hobbies, and make me the number one priority in his life. Would your child's faith stand without you? Are they getting strong enough? Are your young people that you're responsible for getting strong enough that if the Lord took you home in an instant, that their faith would just strengthen and grow, that their leadership would increase? Are they there yet? That's the goal. You see, the idea, if we think about the previous point, that we need to encourage future leaders to recognize and exercise their gift, we might get the idea that we're just supposed to tell kids how awesome they are. There's enough of that going on, okay? Kids don't need to be told how awesome they are, if I can just speak honestly with you. They need to be told you've been given a gift. A gift is something you don't deserve that somebody gave you. God gave it to you. You better use it. You have a responsibility to whom much is given. Much is what? Required. I'm going to demonstrate it for you and then I'm going to cheer it on in you. But look, you're not there yet. You're not all that on a bag of chips, okay? You got a ways to go. Life does not revolve around you. Paul actually said this about himself, maybe the greatest Christian we could possibly think of. Paul said, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, I forget the things that are behind and I reach forth unto the things which are before and I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul says, I haven't arrived. I'm still trying to grow. I'm still trying to progress. We need to cheer this on in young people. Hey, you're taking steps towards Jesus. That's awesome. In one of my discipleship relationships, we use this phrase often. Hey, you look a lot less like you today and a lot more like Jesus. That's what we should be cheering on in our kids. And then number five, encourage future leaders to pay attention and persevere. Verse 16, take heed to thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Take heed. Hey, young people, particularly young men, stay qualified. Remember we talked about qualifications for leaders, for pastors, for deacons. That might not sound like something you're interested in right now, but someday, God willing, you'll want to serve at a deeper level in your church. Stay qualified. Stay in shape spiritually. It's easy for young people to get excited about staying in physical shape because that's easy when you're young. Right, old people? When you're 15 to 25, it's like, you know, you can eat whatever you want, sit on the couch, and you get big and strong. I mean, it's just like crazy. And then after that time, you like eat salads only and work out every day, and it just seems like your body starts falling apart. It's easy for kids to get super excited about physical strength because they're at their prime. Young people, how are you doing with your spiritual strength? How's that going? How are your spiritual disciplines we talked about last week? Take heed to the doctrine. Learn all that you can. Take notes. Are you taking notes? Are you learning? Are you growing? And continue in these things. Not a moment in time, but a lifestyle of spiritual discipline. 15 to 25 year olds are especially vulnerable to spiritual confusion. We as a church must cheer them on and encourage them. So let me give you really quick, four conclusions. Really quick. Here's some things that I think we should take from this passage. Maybe you can think of some more. Number one, identify some young people you can personally encourage spiritually. If you have some in your home, start there. If you don't have any in your home, find some. Encourage them spiritually. Number two, fathers, commit to helping the next generation lead better than we're doing. This generation of leaders in this church, I think, are getting a lot of things right. Praise God. The elder group is healthy. The leadership team is healthy. Our deacon leaders are healthy. Our non-specific role leaders, our Sunday school teachers, is a healthy group of leaders. We're getting some things right by God's grace. Praise Him for that. But can't we raise the next generation to do better? I think we can. I think we should. Fathers, let's commit to that. Number three, let's learn to identify gifts in young people and encourage them to serve. Somebody just yesterday, we were hanging out with some guys, and one of the guys said to another one, "Hey, you're gifted. Thank you for using that gift to serve. That's a blessing to me and my family." That's exactly what we should be doing for young people, just cheering them on. And then fourthly, I just want to give a plug to some young men that you should consider full or part-time ministry for your life. And if you do, you have my commitment as your pastor to cheer you on and support you. If I can help, I commit that we as a church will also help you. May the next generation of leaders at First Baptist Wixom do far more than this generation. We have not yet arrived. We have not yet attained. Will we press forward to the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? Lord, thank you for your word and thank you for these reminders. Please help us. Help us today to apply them personally. Lord, it's so easy for us to get distracted, to think about other things, to apply these to other people, to say, "Wow, I wish I had a dad like that." It's hard for us to say, "You know what? I need to make some changes in my own personal life." Lord, if there's anyone here that does not know Jesus Christ as Savior, would you give them the courage to talk to one of us and to settle that question, what it means to put faith in Jesus, to be born again? Would you teach us today whatever it is we need spiritually that we might be more like Christ? We love you. We thank you for being a good father to us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we conclude today, we want to do a baby dedication. We did this on Mother's Day for, I think, four of our little ones. And today we want to do it for two of our little ones. I want to remind you as a church that this is not any kind of conference of grace on this child other than we as a church saying, "Look, we're going to gather around these parents and we're going to pray for them and we're going to encourage them and we're going to help raise this child for God's glory." It takes the church to do that. So I normally bring up their names to remind you how to pray for them. I'm going to do that again today and just remind you that sometimes I get it wrong, okay? I don't get the name wrong, hopefully, but I get the meaning wrong sometimes. So hang with me for just a second. This is how I am praying for these two little girls today. So we're going to start with Lila Brannon. And Lila, you feeling like coming up here on the platform? Come on up. Chelsea's going to come. Naomi's going to come. This is Aaron and Kate. I think you all know their family. We praise God for them, for these beautiful girls, and for Aaron and Kate's desire to raise them for God's glory. Lila, I love your green bow today. Yeah, it's pretty. So Lila's name has kind of a a variety of meanings. One of the names that I thought was really great was delicate beauty. It reminded me of Peter in 1 Peter chapter 3, where he describes wives as weaker vessels that should be honored. So it's not weaker as in, oh, that's a lesser vessel. It's weaker as in crystal is weaker than plastic. You with me? It's to be honored. It's special. It's cherished. And so for little Lila, I'm using her name to remind me of that. Here's what Peter said. Let the wives adorning not be the outward adorning of the plaiting of hair and the wearing of gold and the putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man, the inner man of the heart. Let her be beautiful inside. That which is not corruptible, a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. This is how Peter describes a woman who is to be honored for her weakness, for her specialness, for her fragility. And I think that's a great way to pray for little Lila today. And I think you understand we should pray for Aaron and Kate, right? Raising three girls for God's glory, that's a big task in today's world. And we're glad that we can have a part and we can encourage you and come alongside you and cheer you on as you raise them for God's glory. Okay, so let me give you a little gift Bible and a certificate today. And then let me just take a minute and pray with you together as a family. Lord, thank you for little Lila, for her health and strength, for her sweet spirit already, for Aaron and Kate's commitment to raise her well for your glory. Lord, we're reminded this morning that each of the young ladies in our church, each of the women in our church, your word describes their tenderness, their softness as something to be honored, something to be lifted up and appreciated. And so we pray that Lila's inner beauty would just shine out from her, and that we as a church would cheer this on in her. Lord, that her life would bring you great glory. We love you. We love this family. And we ask that you would bless them and encourage them and help them as they raise Lila for your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. How about a round of applause for little Lila and this family? Would you guys stay up here if she's willing? Would you stay up here? I'm going to have Johnny and Laura come on up and bring with them little Everly, and they've got Emerald as well. As you know, Johnny is part of our leadership team, and I certainly appreciate his ministry alongside of me doing many, many things. I'm grateful for Laura's sweet attitude and support of his ministry. She's been getting involved in ministry on a hands-on way in the last few weeks with the building project as well, and we appreciate them using their gift that way. Little Everly was named so as a reminder for both her parents and for her to live for everlasting values. Isn't that great? I love it. To think about everlasting things. Paul said in Colossians, if you're risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Right? Think about eternal things. Think about things that last. Think about everlasting things. In John chapter 6, Jesus said, don't labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures unto eternal life. Labor for that. So my prayer for little Everly is that she would not only live for everlasting values, but her life would have an everlasting impact on people around her, on her family, on her friends, on her coworkers, on her future family, that she would have an everlasting impact on them. So we want to give you this Bible and this certificate. Can I hand that to you? And I want to just take just a minute and pray with Johnny and Laura and little Everly and Emerald this morning. Lord, thank you for this family. We love them. We're so grateful to have them as part of our church leadership. We ask that you would bless them and encourage them. Help them as they raise these two girls. We pray particularly for Everly today, that her life would be lived for everlasting values, but also would have an everlasting impact on the people around her. We know that's what Johnny and Laura desire for her. We know that's why they named her that. And we ask that you would bless her with that truth. Everlasting impact for your glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. How about a round of applause for little Everly? Now, it just so happens that Laura and Kate are sisters. So Everly and Lila are cousins, all right? So maybe, I think somebody's taking pictures, somebody back there. Would you guys slide together real quick, maybe get a quick picture? There we go. Get the sisters together. Isn't that awesome? All right, good. Thank you. All right, big round of applause for both of them. Thank you, guys. Before we dismiss today, I want to have you help me welcome to our church Adam and Michelle DiDio. Adam and Michelle, would you come up here? I know many of you know Adam and Michelle. You probably remember hearing part of Adam's testimony on a testimony video. I just got to tell you that our time together with the deacons and hearing you guys talk about your salvation, your baptism, was such an encouragement. It was such an encouragement to me, and I just thought, man, that was stellar. And then we dismissed them as we normally do, and I went back in and I talked to the deacons, and they said, that was awesome. I mean, that was just really great to hear what God's doing in these two lives. Michelle was raised in a Christian home, but really recently kind of got her footing spiritually and has really started taking steps of faith and growing, and we praise God for that. Michelle works for us. She's our toddler lead teacher and does an excellent job in our daycare here. Adam started attending with his wife and was raised Catholic, had some questions about salvation, and really, I think, kind of boiled down to, what does it mean to be a born-again Christian? I know who God is. I know who Jesus is. I know a lot of what the Bible says about salvation, but what does it mean to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? And Adam shared with us what that means and how he learned that by doing discipleship with Jeremy, which is awesome. And Jeremy confronted him one day when they were here studying the Bible together and said, Adam, it's time for you to start that relationship with Jesus, like right now. Let's get this settled. And so Adam came to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and they were recently baptized, and we're super excited to welcome them to our church and encourage them as they take steps of faith. This is what we hope membership day will do for everyone who comes to First Baptist Church, that it will serve as a platform from which they can really take steps spiritually in their faith and also in their ministry. And we want that for Adam and Michelle. We're super excited to have you guys here. Got to fellowship for a few hours with Adam yesterday, and it was a real big blessing for a bunch of the guys to hang out with him and get to know him a little bit better. And we're thrilled to invite them to our church this morning. I would also say, if you have questions, if you're where Adam was, can I do this? Can I invite people to talk to you?
Sorry
to put you on the spot, but I think that would be awesome. If you say, hey, I understand like who God is and who Jesus is and he died on the cross, but I got questions about like what it means to be saved, like born again, like a personal relationship with Jesus. Adam recently went through that struggle and talked through it with Jeremy. What I would do if I was you is just pull those two guys together and say, hey, talk to me about my faith. What you will get is celebration from the rest of the church. I just think that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. So we praise God for you guys and praise God for your testimony. Church, the deacons and I are thrilled to bring them to you. Your job is to vote them in by saying amen. Would you do that by saying amen?
Amen.
If you're opposed, say amen. 100%. We're glad to have you guys here. Welcome to our church. Church, our job now is to extend the right hand of fellowship and help them know that they're loved and appreciated and welcome. So as soon as I finish praying, come on up and do that for them. Would you guys stay here for a couple minutes?
Yep.
Okay, thank you. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to welcome Adam and Michelle. Lord, it's such a thrill to see families get grounded in their faith and then want to get grounded in the church. Such a blessing. We thank you for their sweet spirit, for their desire to serve already, for the connections they're making with other young people in the church. We're just grateful for them and for Enzo and Lulu, for their beautiful family. We just thank you so much to have them as part of our church family. We ask that you would encourage them now. Help them to use this as a platform to take steps of further faith and further service. Lord, remind us of what we've learned in your word today. Help us to apply these things as we dismiss. We give you all the honor and glory and praise, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless. You're dismissed. Come up and say hi to Adam and Michelle. Thank you for watching this video of one of our recent services. It's a pleasure for us to have you join us from a distance and join our church in a time of worship around the Word of God. The most important message that we can tell you is that God loves you And he loves you so much that he gave Jesus Christ as payment for your sins. And the Bible says that all that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. We want you to know that message, that true life is found in Jesus Christ. An eternal life, the opportunity to live with God forever in heaven, in spite of our sinfulness. True life is only found in Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Would you be willing to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Would you be willing to pray something like this? Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I know there's nothing I can do about my sinfulness. I don't want to pay for my own sin, and I want to put my faith in Jesus. I want His death on the cross to pay for my sins. I want to repent from doing things my own way and make Jesus Lord of my life. Would you be willing to pray something like that and put your faith in Jesus Christ? If so, we want to help you as you start your spiritual journey with Jesus Christ. God loves you. Our church loves you. We're glad that you could watch this message today. God bless.